Lord, we just thank you for the word that you've put on Gianna's heart and mind to bring to us this morning. We just pray for us too that you open our hearts to receive and hear and apply that your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I think there's a bit of a theme going on with that song that you led us in yesterday, because what I want to talk about is how we can love like Jesus, but we're going to be looking at what Jesus did, how he showed his love for us. So I want to start with a little bit of fun. If you could imagine that you had a plate in front of you, and on it was your favorite food, what would that be? So I'm going to start here with Rashida.
Jollof rice.
Jollof rice, oh wow. What about you?
I think like a Sunday lunch with some lamb, cooked veggies.
Okay, that's lovely. This is all very savory.
Pizza.
Pizza, oh, there's some pizza for lunch today, and there was jollof rice for lunch today.
Seafood.
Seafood, okay, yes, good.
Well, my wife cooked for me, it's good.
So whatever she cooks for you, you love. Yes, that's a very good answer. That's a very good answer. Jackie?
Steamed fish.
Okay, steamed fish, lovely. Again, all very, very savoury. Right, let's try Mohammed. What do you like to eat?
Yeah,
carob. Carob. Oh, okay, okay, good. And Io?
Fried rice.
Fried rice. So yeah, we've definitely got a savoury theme going on here, but I must say, I would like anything that's sweet, any dessert, particularly if it's chocolate. I love chocolate. Or mango, that's also very good. But yeah, but I would, if I'm sat in a restaurant and I have a nice dessert that comes, I get really worried if my husband starts to reach his spoon across the table because I don't want to share. So yeah, but we do need to share, because I'm going to talk about what Jesus did, or what God did by sending Jesus to us. You might be really good at sharing. You might be really good at putting other people first. And I think if you thought about your life, there's probably something in your life that you have done where you have put somebody else first. And it is important to do that. But we're going to look at Jesus today. What does it mean to love like Jesus? So I haven't got the clicker, but if we could go to the next slide, that would be great. Yes, so John 15, 12 to 15, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And there is so much in these three verses. Jesus gives us a command to love each other as he has loved us. So, how do we love like Jesus? And it's far more than sharing our food with each other and me sharing my chocolate or dessert with somebody else. So, what is love? What is love? If somebody can define love. I'm going to go round again. Nathan, what is love?
That is the million-dollar question. Love is gentle, patient, kind.
Very good.
Being patient and kind, forgiving.
Yes. Being patient, kind, forgiving. Yes, exactly. Okay. What is love?
It's something that can only be experienced in relationship with each other.
Yeah. Very good answer. Okay. Shoaib, what is love?
Speak English.
What is love?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's the best answer. Well done. Yeah, Jesus. He is the one. He demonstrated what love is. So can we go to the next slide? Thank you. So this is a definition of love in the Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Actually, can we read this together? Yeah, those who can read that, please. Start from the beginning. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Can we have the next slide? Thank you. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. Amen. So how is your love? Do you love like that? Do you love like that? Yeah? Getting there? Okay. Yeah, because how is your patience? Imagine it's a really hot day and you're standing in a really long queue. How is your patience? Are you managing that well? Yeah. Are you then kind with your words? What about, what was the one before? Do you bless other people in your thoughts and in what you say about them? Do you envy them when they've got more than you? Or do you bless them when they have more than you? Are you proud? Do you boast about what you have, what you achieve? How about putting your own needs first? Do you put your own needs first? Or do you put other people's needs first? Are you self-seeking? Or do you look at others? How about your temper? Are you good at keeping your temper? What is that like? Do you forgive? If somebody wrongs you, do you let it go? Or do you keep bringing up the past? What about when it comes to the truth? Do you compromise what it says in the Word of God? Especially when you're with other people? Or do you stand on the truth of God's Word? How about some of these always statements? Do you always protect? Do you always trust? Do you always hope? Do you always persevere? And the always is the really difficult bit. Because actually, I think if we were being really honest with each other, then we might say, actually, sometimes we hope. Sometimes we trust. Sometimes we persevere. But this, it describes perfect love. And of course, as Shoaib said, the only one that does this is Jesus. So Jesus is the perfect love. God is the perfect love. And he demonstrated his love. And he commands us to love other people as he has loved us. So if we can go to the next slide, just as a reminder of that scripture. So we're going to get everyone to read it out loud, just to keep everyone awake today. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Okay. So how has Jesus loved us? So what was the context of these words? Does anyone know when he said these words? So it was just before Judas came and betrayed him. It was right before he was to go to the cross. Right before he would be taken and tortured and put on that cross for each one of us. And he knew that this was about to happen. So when he spoke these words, he knew what was about to happen to him. And he was describing the fact that he was going to demonstrate this greater love by laying down his life for his friends. And you know, his friends include us. It includes us. In fact, while we were not his friends, while we were still sinners, he looked at us, he saw us, he made the plan to lay down his life for each one of us. But what makes us his friends? What makes us his friends? The answer is in that passage. It's if you do what he commands, if you are obedient to what he is saying. And his command is that we need to love each other as he has loved us. And Jesus does love you, and that's the amazing thing. Even if you are the worst sinner, he still loves you. He still loves you. But you need to love him too. And this is something that we've been discussing in the discipleship class with our Iranian friends who have just become Christians. We've been doing a weekly discipleship class with them. And I won't embarrass him, but one of the gentlemen keeps asking the question, but what if I sin again? What if I sin? And we've had to explain, yes, you know, we are human, we will sin. We will sin, we will get it wrong. But the point is, it's our hearts that needs to change. And the way that we show love for Jesus is that we try not to sin. And of course, we have the Holy Spirit to help us to not sin. But it's the attitude of our heart. It changes so that we choose to love Jesus. And we show we love him by choosing not to sin, to turn away from that sin. But the question is, are you being obedient? Are you choosing to repent and to turn away from that sin? Are you choosing to do that? Because it is a choice. God has given us free will, and we can choose to go our own way, or we can choose to go his way. But he says that you are my friends if you do what I command. If you do what I command. Welcome back. Okay. So how does Jesus love you? So in the book of John, verse 8, I haven't got the scripture here, but you can, or chapter 8, sorry, John chapter 8, you can look it up if you want to, but it's the story of the woman that is caught in adultery. And in that story, the religious leaders are about to stone this woman to death. And justice says that she should pay the price for her sin. But Jesus says, those without sin should cast the first stone. And to her, he says, go and sin no more. So he shows love to her by having compassion on her and stops her from being killed. And he challenges the sin in her life. He acknowledges it's there. But he says to her, go and sin no more. And that's what he says to each one of us. So yeah, every day we will be tempted to get it wrong. There will be things that come into our lives which look very exciting, but they may not be the right thing to do. So every day you have the choice. Are you going to do that thing, which is sin? Or are you going to choose the way of holiness and walk with him? His love wants the best for you. He wants you free of the sin that so easily entangles. And he wants the best for you. And that's part of how he loves us. So as we love like Jesus, how do we love each other? So yesterday when we were out doing outreach, there was four of us together initially, and then we kind of split up eventually, and Alison and I were walking along, and we saw a lady at a bus stop. And actually, I had seen her right at the beginning of our time together, and I had just thought, I think God wants me to speak to her. But by the time we'd finished doing what we were doing, she disappeared. And it was about an hour later, we were walking along, and there she was at the bus stop. So we were able to go and talk to her. I just started with, God loves you. He has an amazing plan for your life. And her eyes just filled up, didn't they? Yeah. And her story was that she used to read her Bible, she used to go to church, but she'd gone her own way. And she, you know, we had quite a long conversation. We prayed with her and encouraged her back to church. But she acknowledged that that was a God moment. She knew that God was speaking to her right there and then and was calling her back. And God will make the way for her to come back. It was an amazing moment. But it is so easy for us to drift off into the world and to do our own thing. It's why we need to be together. We need to be in church. We need to encourage each other, especially when we are going through something. We need to be there for each other, build each other up, carry each other's burdens, pray for each other. When we're feeling weak, be together. Be together. Strengthen each other in the Lord. But sometimes God wants us to do things that there may be a cost for us. So Jesus, with that woman that was caught in adultery, he wasn't saying, I'm letting you go because you've not sinned. No, he was acknowledging the sin. So there might be times when God wants you, in a loving way, to confront the sin in somebody else's life, to call out when they are going into darkness, because it might need you to be the one that saves them from walking off the cliff into hell. And sometimes that is what he is asking you to do. But usually it starts with me, it starts with you, that God might be wanting to actually put his finger on something in your own life that you need to get right. And that is important. Before you go out talking to everyone else, make sure you are right with God. That you've dealt with those things in your life that you know are not right. And he wants us to show his love by sharing the gospel. And there is going to be many opportunities this week to go out. You may have missed it yesterday, but there are opportunities this week. So every evening, there's going to be a different opportunity to go out in a different place. Tilehurst, Reading Town Centre. I've sent it out on the WhatsApp group already. But if you want clarity, speak to me. But you can join in that. And next Saturday afternoon, we will be going into Reading Town Centre to share the good news of Jesus and praying for people that we meet. And next Saturday evening, you can bring your friends to Gate Central, where we will be having a special service where people will hear the gospel being preached. There will be, we hope, signs, wonders, and miracles. So we believe that God will be moving in that service. And so bring those that don't yet know Jesus. Maybe somebody needs healing. Bring them along. We're expectant that God will heal them. Bring them along. They need to hear the good news of Jesus. Jesus showed his love for us by laying down his life, and that was the ultimate sacrifice. And how can we love like Jesus? We can also lay down our lives for each other. It may not be unto death, but it may be that we just put somebody else first. so what they want first. We may lay down what we want in our lives for what our spouse wants, for example, for our husband or our wife. And actually, in Ephesians 5, Paul is talking to husbands when he says, lay down your lives for your wife. But it applies to both in a marriage, that we should lay down our wants and desires for each other. But how about you? For those perhaps that are not your immediate family, would you lay down your life for somebody that is not in your immediate family? It's maybe somebody that's different to you. Maybe somebody that's from a different nation. Would you lay down your life for them? Would you put them first? Perhaps it's somebody that you don't agree with politically, or maybe somebody that's a different religion to you. How can you still love them and show Jesus to them? What about if you disagree with somebody? How can you show that you love that person still? How can you love them like Jesus would want you to love them? What would Jesus do? What would he say? What would that look like if he was in the room right now? If he was physically in the room? How do you think you would behave? Especially to brothers and sisters here that you may not know so well. How would you love them? You know, Jesus himself at one point was a refugee. There was a time when he was a baby and Joseph had a dream from God and he was told that he had to flee, they had to escape to a different country so that they could be safe. And they actually went to Egypt and that's where they lived for a few years. And they were refugees in that time and God protected them during that time. So it's important to remember the scripture, Deuteronomy 10:29, where God says to the Israelites, you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. So it's important to remember where you have come from, how you have been welcomed here, how you have been loved here, and then to love others. Really important. We need to love like Jesus. And as I said earlier, sometimes as we love people, it may cost us. But we have to put him first. We have to lay down our lives for him. And as I said, there may have been times when you have done things for Jesus which have cost you. And I know for me, Jesus has asked me at least twice so far to move churches. And I've had to leave ministry behind. I've had to leave family behind. As you know, my family worships over at Gate Tilehurst. I worship here. So I've had to leave friends behind. But I know I'm doing it for Jesus. And that's my reward, knowing that I am serving him and loving him and in his will. And he might be asking something similar of you. To lay your life down for him. But sometimes loving like Jesus actually involves literally laying our lives down. So dying for him. And I want to tell you the story. Some of you may know it, but it's about a gentleman called Maximilian Kolbe. And he was actually a Franciscan friar, so he was a Roman Catholic priest. And he was alive, he was Polish man, and he was alive in World War II. So this was a few years ago. And he was known for his deep faith. He was really kind, he was dedicated to helping others. And when Nazi Germany invaded Poland, Kolbe used his monastery to shelter lots of people, including Jewish people. But in 1941, he was arrested by the Gestapo. So the Gestapo were like the police And he was sent to a concentration camp, which was again like a prison, but a really nasty prison. It was the worst one. It's called Auschwitz. And some people may have heard of that name, so I appreciate a lot of people may not have. And life in that camp was really desperately hard. People were starved to death. People were gassed, killed daily. They were tortured. They were forced into hard labor. And one day, a prisoner escaped from that camp. And in retaliation, the Nazi guards, they said, right, we're going to select 10 prisoners. And because that one prisoner has escaped, those 10 we're going to kill. So they went and they selected 10 prisoners in front of everybody. And they were going to, and the fate, what was going to happen to them is that they were going to be put underground in what was called a starvation cell. So they would just be put into darkness under the ground and they would just be left to die. So no food, no water. And they knew that was going to happen. And this, there was somebody called Francis Czech. And when he heard, he was selected, and when he heard that had happened, he cried out. And he said, my wife, my children. And the priest, Maximilian Kolbe, saw him, and he stepped forward. And he said, take me instead. Take me instead. And the guards, amazingly, they said, yes, okay. And so they took the 10, including the priest, and they put them in this underground prison and just left them. And of course, over the next 2 weeks, they slowly were dying. But the reports, because the one person to survive that experience and to be set free from Auschwitz at the end of the war was Francis Czech. And so he was the witness to what happened next. And he said that in that cell they could hear the worship rising up through the floor as this priest, I mean, he brought these Jewish people to the Lord in that cell as they were dying. And they worshiped together, they prayed together, and they died together. In fact, after 2 weeks, the only one that was still alive was the priest, and so the guards came and gave him a lethal injection. But Francis Czech lived to tell the tale. And he said, I could only thank him in my prayers. So long as I have breath in my lungs, I will consider it my duty to tell people about the heroic act of love of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And Maximilian loved like Jesus. He laid down his life for this man. But how about you? Could you have made that choice? Could you have done that? For people that you don't know particularly, could you have done that? But this is what Jesus did for you. He saw you from the beginning of time. And he knew what you would be like. He knew the life that you were going to live. He knew the sin that you might commit. And yet he saw you, and he loved you, and he chose you, and he laid down his life for you on the cross. And the good news, of course, is that he did not stay there. He rose again. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold God. And he rose, and he is alive today. and we can all know him. We can all experience him for ourselves. And many of us here have encountered Jesus for ourselves. We know him as the living God. And he is. He is alive. He is alive today. I wonder how you could do things better, how you could love like Jesus. If we can skip through a few slides, I've forgotten to do them, so that would be good, please. But how can you love the stranger in your midst? How can you love your husband or wife better? How can you love those around you better? How can you put them first? How can you go to a lost and broken world and share God's love with them? Because there is so many out there that need Jesus. They need to know that Jesus loves them. I wonder if you could be like Francis Chek and recognize your Savior. And say, as long as you have breath in your lungs, you will consider it your duty to tell people about the heroic act of love, not just of one man who laid down his life for one, but of Jesus who laid down his life for you. If I could have the worship team start to come back as we come to a close. So how did Jesus love? If we can have the last slide up, please. How did Jesus love? By sacrificing everything for you. By laying down his life on the cross for you. And he did it so that you could be free. So that you could be free of the sin. So that you could be free to be all he has made you to be. And he has made you with a purpose. There is a plan and a purpose for each one of you. He has something for each one of you. You just need to ask him what that is. I could never have imagined, if you wanted to start, I could never have imagined 15 years ago that I would be up here right now. That song, No Longer a Slave to Fear, I was bound by fear and anxiety. But Jesus set me free of that fear. And Jesus wants to set you free too. So today, I want to give you the opportunity. It might be that you know that you are caught up. It could be a bad habit. It could be sin. It could be that you don't know him yet. And I want to give you the opportunity today. Jesus came and laid his life down for you. Will you choose him today? Will you choose his way today? So if I can ask everyone just to close your eyes and bow your heads. If you know that Jesus is talking to you today, if you know that you need to put your life right with him today, everybody has got their eyes closed, so nobody is looking except for me. But if you know that today is the day that you want to say yes to him, if you could just put your hand up so that I can see it. If you know you need to get your life right, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for those that have raised your hands. I'm going to keep it open for a bit longer. Is there anybody else that you want to get your life right with God today? This is the moment when he says, it's the fact his word says, today is the day of salvation. And today is the day when you leave your sin behind and you walk into a life with him. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you to all of those that have raised your hands. If you could please, I'm going to pray with you now. We're all going to pray together. But if you could make sure you come and see me after the service, thank you. You can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to pray together. For the sake of those five that I have seen that have put their hands up, we're going to pray together. So if you want to just follow after me, I'll speak, and then you follow what I'm saying. Okay. Father God, we come to you today. We acknowledge the sin in our lives. And we say we are sorry for that sin. And we choose now to turn away from that sin. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to wash me, to cleanse me, to set me free. I thank you that you died on the cross for me, and that you rose again, and that you now pray for me from heaven. I thank you that as I pray this prayer, that you are with me, and that you will enable me to walk with you. I thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, who will help us to walk with you. And I thank you for the eternal life that I now have. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 So please, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or even for the second time, then please do make sure you come and see me either after the service or during lunch, so that we can talk more. And if you didn't pray that prayer but know that Jesus is talking to you, then again, come and see me. Okay? It's not too late. It's not too late. He's always opening the door to you. There is always room for you. Amen. We're going to go back into time of encounter now. So please stand and we're going to worship.